भूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय, मायापुर नवदीप धाम की जय, पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय, गंगा माई की जय, जमुना माई की जय, भक्ति देवी श्रीमती तुलसी महारानी की जय, कलयुग पावन श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय, ताई गौर प्रेमानंदी, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांगा। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमः श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। श्रृण्वतां स्वकथा कृष्ण पुण्यश्रवण कीर्तन हृदयंतस्थोय भद्राणी विधूनोति सुहृत्सताम्। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 11th कैंटो चैप्टर नंबर 7 entitled Lord Krishna Instructs Uddhav, verse number 10. Jnana Vijnana Sanyukta Atma Bhuta Sharirinam Atmanu Bhava Tushtatma Nantarayair Vihanyase। ज्ञान विज्ञान संयुक्ता आत्मभूतः शरीरिणाम् आत्मानुभवतुष्टात्मा नान्तरायैर्विहन्यसे। ज्ञान विज्ञान संयुक्ता आत्मभूतः शरीरिणाम् आत्मानुभवतुष्टात्मा नान्तरायैर्विहन्यसे। ज्ञानविज्ञानसंयुक्त आत्मभूतः शरीरिणाम् आत्मानुभावतुष्टात्मा अंतरायैर्विहन्यसे। ज्ञान विज्ञान संयुक्त आत्मभूतै शरीरिणाम् आत्मानुभावतुष्टात्मा नान्तरायैर्विहन्यसे। word to word meaning, jnana with conclusive knowledge of the Vedas, vijnana and practical realization of the purpose of knowledge, samyuktaha fully endowed, atmabhutaha an object of affection, sharirinam for all embodied beings, beginning with the great demigods, atma anubhava by direct perception of the soul, tushtatma having a satisfied mind, na never, antarayai by disturbances, vihanyase you will be checked in your progress. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Being fully endowed with conclusive knowledge of the Vedas and having realized the ultimate purpose of such knowledge in practice, you will be able to perceive the pure self, and thus your mind will be satisfied. At that time, you will become dear to all living beings headed by the demigods, and you will never be hampered by any disturbance in life. Purport. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, one whose mind is free from material desire becomes disinterested in demigod worship, since the purpose of such worship is material amelioration. The demigods, however, are never displeased with one who becomes a pure devotee of Lord Krishna and offers all of his worship to the Lord. The demigods themselves are humble servants of Lord Krishna, as was amply demonstrated in Lord Krishna's pastimes on the earth. One who can experience the eternal soul within everyone's body certainly becomes dear to all living beings. Since he sees everyone as qualitatively equal to himself, he does not envy anyone, nor try to lord it over any other living being. Being free from envy and a well-wisher of all, such a self-realized soul is naturally dear to everyone. As stated in the song to the six Goswamis, Dhira Dhira Jana Priyau Priyakarau Nirmat Sarau Pujitau. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostude Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare कृष्ण. ट्रांसलेशन वंस अगेन. बींग फुली एंडाउड विथ कंक्लूसिव नॉलेज ऑफ द वेदास एंड हैविंग रियलाइज्ड द अल्टीमेट पर्पस ऑफ सच नॉलेज इन प्रैक्टिस यू विल बी एबल टू परसीव द प्योर सेल्फ एंड थस योर माइंड विल बी सेटिस्फाइड. एट दैट टाइम यू विल बिकम डियर टू ऑल लिविंग बींग्स हेडेड बाय द डेमीगॉड्स एंड यू विल नेवर बी हैम्पर्ड बाय एनी डिस्टर्बेंस इन लाइफ. Hare Krishna. So here we are seeing the after Sri Uddhava inquired from the Lord that what he should do, knowing that Krishna is about to leave the spiritual for the spiritual world, and that he expressed his desire that he also wanted to join. And the Lord instructs Uddhavji that yes, when he leaves this material world, then this place is not a fit place to stay, so you should also leave. But before that, he gave him an assignment that he should go to Badrinath and meet with all the sages, the yogis there, and especially Narayan Rishi. And he starts instructing Uddhav how to become self-realized. Not that he was not self-realized, but you know, Uddhavji becomes an instrument to again allow the Lord to give this science of self-realization for the benefit of all of us. Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita, making Arjun as an instrument, and here he is speaking this Uddhava Gita, which is, it is called as Uddhava Gita, although it is the song sung by the Lord for Uddhava. And this is more elaboration of what the Lord spoke in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita was spoken in 18 chapters, 700 shlokas. And on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and this Uddhava Gita is covered in 23 chapters. So this is the first chapter of Uddhava Gita, and it goes on till 29th chapter, and it has almost 900 plus verses. So the whole Uddhava Gita, so it's just by the numbers we can see that it's a more elaboration. And of course we know that when on the battlefield there is not much time to discuss. So the Lord, what he spoke to Arjun to clarify the fog that he had in his mind, the doubts which were impeding his action in Krishna consciousness, so the Lord spoke in a sutra form, gave just formulas or principles, did not elaborate much on the different shlokas of Bhagavad Gita where he speaks about different principles. And when we read Srila Prabhupada's books, so we see that in Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada keeps quoting from the Bhagavad Gita. So what principle is discussed in Bhagavad Gita? That's elaborated here in Srimad Bhagavatam through the life of the devotees, that how this particular principle was practiced by this devotee. Here in Uddhava Gita, we find that Lord Krishna speaks with some elaboration, because this is the time when he has finished the business for which he was called in this material world by the demigods. So the burden of the earth has been removed. All the demons and the demoniac kings with their dynasties have been wiped out. And Lord Krishna was also feeling a bit concerned that yes, the burden of the earth has been removed. The burden caused by the demoniac kings. But there is still one more possibility of again some kind of disturbance being created on the earth because of the very powerful Yadavas on the earth. And so, after some deliberation, he also figured out how to remove that burden also, which he explains to Uddhava in the past few verses. Lord Krishna speaks that 7 days from now the Dwarka will be flooded, and then all these Yadavas, they go to the Prabhashetra, and then everyone will be wiped out. So after making all the plans of how he is going to wind up everything, and here Lord Krishna is relaxing because now he is at peace. Everything is taken care of. And then Uddhavji and Maitreya Rishi, they come there. Or rather, Maitreya Rishi comes a bit later. So Uddhavji is inquiring, and Lord Krishna has a lot of time, so he keeps speaking. And then we see that Krishna speaks of the philosophy, and he also speaks about some examples. And we see here, in Uddhava Gita is also Aila Gita, or the song by Pururava, who was also called as Aila, the son of Ila. And also there is Bhikshu Gita as part of this Uddhava Gita. And the prayers of the, or the instructions of Hamsavatar, I don't know, we could call it as Hamsa Gita. So, we see that the Uddhava Gita, all the topics discussed in the Bhagavad Gita, the three modes of material nature, Jnana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, they all are there, but with more elaboration. In fact, Lord Krishna even elaborates about the need for deity worship, need to establish temples, how to perform the deity worship, how to take care of the deities, much more greater elaboration. So we are very fortunate that by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada we have the opportunity to read Bhagavad Gita, and now for the next few months we will be seeing the parallels from Bhagavad Gita and Uddhava Gita with more elaborations. The purpose of speaking Bhagavad Gita by the Lord to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra was that Arjuna was becoming despondent, not to fight, not to act, and the task before the Lord was to use this instrument which is not really in a mood of cooperation to again use Arjuna as an instrument for reducing the burden of earth. So the Lord's emphasis in Bhagavad Gita is how the how Arjun can again come back in action. So the emphasis really is on karma yoga, or action in Krishna consciousness, that Arjun, being a warrior on the battlefield, was saying, I'll renounce, and it is better to live in forest begging. And that had to be reversed. Arjun has to be instructed sufficiently that he again takes up his bow and arrow and starts fighting. So we know that the essence of Gita is to perform our duties with devotion, compassion and integrity. So this is, just yesterday I heard this understanding from one of the lectures where His Holiness Radhanath Swami was speaking, that Bhagavad Gita, the essence of it is to perform our duties with devotion, compassion and integrity. So the emphasis is on performance of our duties. And here in Uddhava Gita, in the beginning verses, Lord Krishna speaks that you should renounce, you should take sannyas. So the emphasis in Uddhava Gita is that Uddhava should take sannyas and renounce for going back home, back to Godhead. Just as in this world, life and death are essential realities. So similarly, you know, the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and Uddhava Gita are also very important. Bhagavad Gita teaches how to live while performing our duties and how to discover and relish our connection with the Lord, the divine love that is within us, and at the same time perform our duties in this material world. And simultaneously performing our duties and preparing to reunite with the Lord in His service. And the emphasis on in the Uddhava Gita is that how to, while realizing this connection with the Lord, prepare to leave from this world and continue the service in the different realm, the spiritual realm. So both living and leaving, so both are important. This is not just, you know, we should know art of living, we should also know art of leaving. And here, in Uddhava Gita, Lord Krishna is speaking that, you know, how Uddhava should renounce and should absorb himself in the meditation on the Lord and serve the Lord. This particular verse is very important for all the sadhakas, especially where it mentions that being fully endowed with conclusive knowledge of the Vedas and having realized the ultimate purpose of such knowledge in practice, jnana vijnana sanyukta, you will be able to perceive the pure self, that is atmanubhava, and thus your mind will be satisfied. At that time you will become dear to all living beings. So tushtatma and then atma bhutai sharirinam, headed by the demigods, and you will never be hampered by any disturbance in life. Nantarair vihanyase. So this material world is, we all know, it's full of disturbances. And the disturbances are caused by different sources, our own body and mind, through others, through the nature. And neither in Bhagavad Gita nor here the Lord gives any promise that the disturbances will reduce. The disturbances will be there. That's part of this material world. And the more anyone tries to run away from disturbances, the more it increases. The more a person tries to reduce his misery, the more the miseries increase. But if a person is just equipoised, then without invitation the miseries come. So similarly, the happiness will also come. So the Lord, even in Bhagavad Gita, again and again, He keeps telling Arjuna to be equipoised. And here, the Lord is also mentioning the same thing, that you will not become hampered by disturbance. But how will that be achieved? Jnana vijnana sanyukta. That by being endowed with conclusive knowledge of the Vedas, jnana, and having realized the ultimate purpose of such knowledge in practice, and vijnana. Krishna also speaks in Bhagavad Gita, jnana vijnana, jnanam teham sa vijnana, that He will explain in the 7th chapter, 2nd verse, He says that, explains the knowledge and the material knowledge and the spiritual knowledge. So, explain the knowledge and also how to practice it and make it into a spiritual realization. And then He says, once having known this, then there is nothing more to be known. So, we see that the disturbances will not go away, but with this knowledge and suitable practice, what will happen is that we'll the or the sadhaka gets a clue how to never become hampered by these disturbances, how to overcome these disturbances. And we can see this practically from the lives of the devotees, all the great acharyas. We can see so many examples are there, the Pandavas themselves. So they had so many disturbances in their life, right from their birth till the last, you know, when they left for the spiritual world. It was just a saga of disturbances. But in that, because they were always thinking of the Lord and absorbed in remembrance of the Lord, disturbances were there, but they were not affected by it. On the other hand, there were people like Duryodhan and others. They were surrounded with all the opulence that anyone could even imagine or could not even imagine. But their minds were always disturbed because they were bereft of jnana and vijnana. Yesterday also was Chandra Grahan, full moon eclipse. So His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, again in that program, he was mentioning that how, although there is an eclipse, but the moon is there. The full moon is always there. But just that, the moon is covered up by ignorance, covered up by a shadow. And that's what causes misery. But once that ignorance is removed, then there is no misery. Just like the eyes are there and the power, the vision is there, power of vision. But when it is covered with cataract, then the vision fails. But once the cataract is removed, then again the vision is reinstated. So similarly, all the living entities, they have eternal connection with the Lord. But when there is ignorance in the form of identifying with this body, the mind and the material intelligence, then that becomes the source of miseries. And that becomes the source of disturbances. But once, with this proper knowledge, jnana and vijnana and suitable practice, there is a realization. And that is, you will be able to perceive the pure self. So that realization of pure self and the eternal connection with the Lord is revived. Then the mind is satisfied. And that leads to becoming free from disturbances. In the sense, not being hampered by the disturbances. So in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that what is real religion or real dharma? It is that which is ahaituki apratiyata. That because it is free from any motivation, it is apratiyata also. That it cannot be checked in any situation. So, once we are fortunate enough by the mercy of the parampara to get this connection, get this knowledge and suitable practice, then we can easily become free from these disturbances of the material world, or rather learn how to overcome them. And it also mentions that the verse mentions that not just the person becomes free from the disturbances, but he also becomes very dear to all living entities headed by the demigods. So we always are in quandary or difficulty, how to please, whom to please, how many to please, how many times to please, right? Our actions may be pleasing today, tomorrow the same action does not become pleasing to the same people. Right? So, what's wrong, you know? So that we may think. But here, Lord Krishna is speaking that what is the way to satisfy all the living entities headed by the demigods? Atma bhuta sharirinam. To become pleasing to all the living entities headed by the demigods. And that is, again, jnana vijnana sanyukta. To be endowed and understand the purpose of Vedic knowledge, purpose of this spiritual knowledge, and also practice, suitable practice along with that knowledge, which brings realizations. There is a very nice instance or an example which is found in Srimad Bhagavatam of this exact principle, and that is the life of Dhruva Maharaj. That when Suruchi, she did not allow him to sit on the lap of his father because she had some kind of superiority complex and some kind of negative emotions or even envy towards Dhruva. She did not allow. And that resulted into Dhruva becoming so antagonistic towards the whole thing, and he decided that he wanted to have a superior position than even his father or grandfather or great-grandfather. And he left for the forest to do tapasya on the advice of his mother Suniti, who one of the first instructions she gave was to not feel anger towards any living entity, especially the stepmother Suruchi. And then on the way Narad Muni meets Dhruva Maharaj and he gives him knowledge and a suitable practice. And with sincere efforts, Dhruva Maharaj, he follows the instructions of his spiritual master, who met him only once at that time. And after sincerely and seriously following the instructions of the spiritual master, within a matter of 6 months, he became fully realized that Lord Vishnu, he was obliged to appear in front of Dhruva and out of love. And Lord Vishnu, he gave him the benedictions and blessings. So just having the darshan of the Lord is, he was actually a pure devotee. He was completely spiritual, free from any material contamination. And it is explained that when Dhruva Maharaj returned back to the kingdom, so it is mentioned that he approached his father and the stepmother and mother, both the mothers, and he bowed down to his parents. And Suruchi, forgetting all the past bad relations that was there, or whatever she had, not so good pleasant relation with Suniti or even Dhruva, but from her heart she gave him the blessings that, my dear boy, long may you live, that you live long. She is the same lady, stepmother, who was telling Dhruva Maharaj that if you want to sit here, you have to die first. And if you are fortunate, you take birth from my womb and then you can think of getting this throne. So that was the kind of arrogance, we can say, or that was the kind of mentality she had, And now, with full heart, she was giving blessings to the same Dhruva, that long may you live. And in the next verse, purport, I'll just... So, in the very next verse from this verse, you know, the verse says, Suruchi, the younger mother of Dhruva Maharaj, seeing that innocent boy had fallen to her feet, immediately picked him up, embracing him with her hands, and with tears of feeling, she blessed him with the words, My dear boy, long may you live. And then Shukadeva Goswami, he explains what was the cause of her transformation of heart, that she was at one time so envious, so to say, of Dhruva trying to sit on the lap of Uttanapada, and now she is with tears in her eyes blessing that Dhruva may live long. So Shukadeva Goswami explains, unto one who has transcendental qualities due to friendly behavior with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all living entities offer honor, just as water automatically flows down by nature. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that since Dhruva Maharaj was blessed by the Lord, due to his transcendental qualities, everyone was bound to offer him all respects and benedictions, just as water by its nature flows downward. So, because Dhruva Maharaj was a self-realized soul after returning from the forest, so naturally, you know, one of the symptoms of a self-realized soul is that he is humble. He takes a very humble position. And as the example analogy is given here, the water automatically flows downwards, down by nature. So similarly, you know, because Dhruva Maharaj was previously very angry just by this act of not allowing him to sit on the lap, and now he himself had transformation and he was falling at the feet of his stepmother, and that because of that humility, and now he was a pure devotee, so this benedictions were flowing from her mother. And then Prabhupada mentions, a devotee of the Lord does not demand respect from anyone, but wherever he goes, he is honored by everyone throughout the whole world with all respect. Srinivas Acharya said that the six Goswamis of Vrindavan are respected throughout the entire universe because a devotee, having pleased the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all emanations, automatically pleases everyone, and thus everyone offers him respect. So, you know, just by becoming a devotee, not in external sense, but truly becoming a devotee, jnana and vijnana, having the knowledge and practicing it for realizations and being self-realized. So this transformation took place, that those who were envious of Dhruva, now they were so pleased. And in fact, as the verse said, all the living entities become pleased because he has pleased the Lord. Again, there is a verse which mentions, I think it's in Uddhava Gita only, that just as yatha taror moola nishechanena, that just as one offers the water at the roots of the whole tree is satisfied. Similarly, if one satisfies the Lord, then all the living entities are satisfied. So, you know, we can see that by this, having this jnana and vijnana sanyukta, that can actually, that is one of the ways of satisfying everybody. And it is also mentioned that even demigods are pleased and do not create any obstacles. So, in the commentary by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he mentions that if a person does not do any activities, then the demigods, they actually become displeased and they may even cause some obstacles. But because a devotee is engaged in the service of the Lord, and all these demigods are also devotees of the Lord, so they are not displeased with them. But apparently, sometimes the demigods may also create obstacles. So here, when it is mentioned that you will never be hampered by disturbances, it one way of seeing is that there won't be any disturbances, or you will not be affected by the disturbances. So demigods will not create obstacles, or whatever demigods do, that will not be an obstacle in your execution of devotional service. And we see that in the life of another great pure devotee, Vritrasura, that somehow he was cursed to become a demon, and he was doing his duties as a demon, and he was fighting on behalf of the demons against the demigods. And at one point, Indra, he was getting defeated, but because he was benedicted by the Lord that by the use of thunderbolt, he can destroy Vritrasura. And Vritrasura was very much fixed up in his mind that he does not want any position or any prestige in this material world, but wants to go back in the service of the Lord in the spiritual world. And he was kind of advising Indra to perform his duties. And Indra was one after the other cutting all his limbs. And at last, when Vritrasura was absorbed in deep meditation on the Lord, and he was trying to cut his head, although Indra was actually swallowed by Vritrasura, and then he came out cutting the ripping off the stomach, and he was cutting the head of Vritrasura, but Vritrasura was not at all disturbed. So the external situation did not disturb Vritrasura, because he was fixed up in self-realization, not thinking in terms of the body, not thinking in terms of the so-called, you know, influence or whatever, you know, on the mental platform. And that's how he was totally fixed up. And here it mentions that the devotee is not disturbed. Apparently, sometimes the devotees get disturbed also. And we see even sometimes the acharyas get disturbed. So, then is that some contradiction? Because one of the verses in the 12th chapter, Lord Krishna speaks that who is most dear to him. And in those series, he says that yasman no dvijate loko, lokan no dvijate chaya. Harsha marsha bhayo dvegai, mukto yasacha me priya. That who is more dear? Who is very dear? That he does not disturb anyone, nor is he disturbed by anyone. Yasman no dvijate loko. Because of him, no one else feels disturbed. And lokan no dvijate chaya. Nor does he allow himself to be disturbed by others' actions. And who is free from harsha, amarsha, he is free from happiness and misery and feelings of happiness, misery and like that, bhaya or fear, he is very dear. But sometimes we see that acharyas or the devotees may actually feel disturbed. A very classical, you know, example we can give is of Srila Prabhupada. We just celebrated few days back the 40 years of the inauguration of Juhu Temple. So the whole episode, which is going to come in a book very soon by His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj, He is compiling a book on that whole episode. But in that, we see Prabhupada in a... Sometimes devotees explained that Prabhupada was in a mood of Narasimha Dev, very angry and very determined to fight back. But that was not on his own account, but that was for the service of the Lord. So whatever apparent disturbance was there, it was only to serve the Lord in a more effective way for the pleasure of the Lord. We see that even in the life of Narottam Das Thakur, few days back, 2-3 days back, it was Narottam Das Thakur's yesterday. Appearance day. Yeah. So, we know that in the life of Narottam Das Thakur, when he was preaching, so many Brahmanas, they were actually surrendering to him. Although, apparently, from social point of view, Narottam Das Thakur, although pure devotee of the Lord, but he was not from social convention from a Brahman family, but he was from a Kayastha family. He was from a non-Brahman family. And that was creating a lot of disturbance in the society. And Narottam Das Thakur was feeling very despondent, and at one point, you know, he decided that, what is the point? You know, so he was kind of, you know, leaving his body. He was fully absorbed in the thoughts of the Lord, but apparently his body was lifeless, and he was about to be cremated. At that time, all these so-called Brahmanas, they came there and they started blaspheming, and they started saying that, see, this is the cause of not following the Vedic injunctions, that out of arrogance, although he is not a Brahman, but he is initiating Brahmanas and doing all disruption in the society. And so, in so many ways, they were blaspheming Narottam Das Thakur. And hearing all those blasphemy, his disciples, especially Gangadas Pandit, they became so disturbed. Not because they were blaspheming, but because they were digging their own grave. They were offending a pure devotee. And out of compassion, they started pleading Narottam Das Thakur, who was lying on the pyre, that for their sake, you please, you know, do something that they can be saved from this grave offense that they are committing to a pure devotee. And only for that reason, Narottam Das Thakur again decided to come back. And he got up. And that incident of Narottam Das Thakur apparently lying on the funeral pyre and getting up, that invoked so much of faith in all those blasphemers that they became his disciples. And apparently what Narottam Das Thakur had given his life for, which was in danger, the Vaishnava principles and the process of devotional service, which was in danger because of their blasphemy, and saying that because of all these things he is suffering now and he has died, that again was revived by the very people who were against it. So, the point is that there may be disturbances, and a devotee may acknowledge disturbances, but they may do that only for increasing the service of the Lord, enhancing the glories of the Lord. And we see that from these two examples. Srila Prabhupada, he accepted the challenge and fought for that land to establish temple, because that was very important for increasing the service of the Lord and as a compassion for all the living entities. And we see that the average daily visit every day today is somewhere in thousands. So many devotees, so many people are coming and getting connected in some way or the other by the process of devotional service. So these are few of my thoughts that how, you know, if we sincerely practice this process of Krishna consciousness, cultivate the right kind of knowledge from the revealed scriptures under the guidance of the bona fide Guru-Shishya Parampara, and also follow the process that has been given by the Parampara of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, and engaging in loving devotional service to the Lord and His devotees, then we can see the concomitant result of that will be that we'll come to the stage of perceiving the pure self, and we'll be free from all the disturbances of this life, and we'll be able to please all the living entities headed by the demigods. So thank you very much. The time is not sufficient to ask questions, but if there is one question, we can try to take. Otherwise, we close here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, aur Premanandi Hari Prabhu.